Direct.com/Alex.
Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in company's profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You're listening to the daily version of the Cullen Economics Report. I'm Al Cullen, and I do appreciate you joining me. We've got a really good show today. Very, very interesting show. We're going to talk about companies. We're going to talk about politics. You're going to have some fun. We're going to talk in the area of politics. We're going to talk about why we think the scenario continues to be very, very good for precious metals. Got Peter Grandich with me on the line to help me start out here. We're going to talk a little bit about our reactions, anyway, to the president's speech, and we're also going to talk about some of your reactions. I did a daily editorial on this on Thursday night, and, you know, an hour after it went up, we had 15 or 16 comments. Pete, let me start out with a comment from one of our listeners, Larry. But let me give you an exact quote as to what he says. Al, Obama is a true illusionist without ever explaining how or why the illusion was accomplished. His propensity for overstatement and underperformance is always part of his speeches and leaves me with a sense of being unfulfilled. I personally agree with that. He's a great orator, not a lot of substance. Even Al Sharpton after the show yesterday said, boy, the devil's in the details. How's he going to do what he was talking about? What are your words on that, Pete?
Well, it's something I've said from even before he was elected, and the concern was, and this is not any personalizing in this, and that is the man had limited or no real experience for the job. His resume was extremely thin. He ran on a change in hope pattern, which I don't think anybody would say we've had change for the better or have more hope now than we did before, but he also caught his timing was good because the previous president was not liked by much at all, so people viewed anything was better than him or anything like him. And the bottom line is it's proven that he's not been a true leader. I mean, one of the ways you can look at it is there's really no one left at all from his original team, and many bailed out much earlier than now. So I think at the end of the day, the sad part of this is going to be is that history is going to show him to be like Herbert Hoover was, and that we're going to need somebody like we got after Herbert Hoover to come in and turn things around. I truly believe he's a one-term president. I don't see how he could be reelected at this point in time. And so it doesn't come as a surprise that people were not happy with the speech, nor if the markets reacted well to it.
You know, here's another interesting comment about that. This is from another regular listener. His name is Paul S. And Paul S. says, I know politics are important. However, I follow the markets and how they react to the politicians. The markets don't lie. And following market sentiment makes me money. Following politicians doesn't. I agree with that, Paul. I'd be curious to see what you think about that. Where I do disagree, though, is yes, following markets is incredibly important. I mean, look what happened yesterday in the early morning. Yesterday being Friday, you know, gold was down just a skosh, silver was down just a little bit, and the Dow, in reaction to the president's speech in early trading, was down about 200 points. Following politicians doesn't make you any money, but boy, what about the fact that you really need to be aware of what's going on so you can understand why the markets are reacting the way they're reacting. You've been in this game a long time, Pete. Do you agree?
Well, yeah. I think, in if you want to call it fairness to him, but to cut him a little bit of slack. He did walk into a crisis, a very serious crisis. But the problem you can see is clear and evident. Some of his most major supporters and advocates for him during his run and shortly after his presidency have in no way, shape, or form showed support or actually abandoned him. And that's just a signal that, you know, I think the markets are, you know, looking at it the way they are. They don't see him as the answer. Matter of fact, some people, I think, are now getting to the point and feel that he is the problem. So I just really think that he made a political statement. It was part of a campaign that's already begun for his reelection. And what I thought was most interesting, and, you know, this isn't a political show, but it'd be interesting maybe for us to listen to those who delve in this moment to moment is that the Republicans even chose not to rebuttal, because it's like saying it's like the defense rests, you know, like after the prosecution made its case and its defense turns, and they simply rest because they feel that the prosecutor has not made the case for their defendant to be found guilty. And I think that's what the Republicans are saying, that they didn't have to say anything, that you can just look at what he's saying, what he's failed to do, and there's your answer.
Yeah, and there is your answer. Here's a listener from Canada, James B., said, "In all due respect, I don't believe that Obama inherited anything. Given how the U.S. government functions, Congress, controlled by Democrats between 06 and 08, gave the final green light to the budgets. Plus, his party had to know the bad, bad state of things. He just likes being in power and loves the attention and the chance to bend over to foreign dictators. I cannot think of one thing he has done properly." I'm on record on this show and in various other forums as saying, I think that President Obama is a great orator. I think he's a very, very bright man. I just am diametrically opposed philosophically to where I think he's coming from. I mean, I know how you feel about that, and I'm sure our listeners do, but what do you think about James B.'s comment regarding, you know, the president really didn't inherit anything?
Well, you know, that is always that argument. You can say that it was a Democratic-controlled Congress, but the president it would have been certainly much easier if he became president 2-3 years before that, when the economy was much better. The problem I always had with him is, you know, we joked around down here that Hurricane Irene was changed to Hurricane George by the president, because he had to blame that too on him. So you know, there was a lot of that early on, and you can get away with it early on. But the fact that he stuck to that, and listen, here's the other problem I think that's happened. People have felt, even on his personal level and his family level, you know, this constantly taking, you know, vacations, constantly, you know, the wife going away 2 days before him and causing millions of dollars. The whole perception that he gave people, there's all the people that went for the change in hope feel they've been let down. You look at the most left-leaning celebrities and politicians, what they've said in recent weeks. They're stating they believe he has let them down. So you got the far left that aren't comfortable with him. The far right said he's the worst thing that ever happened. There's no happy ground when it comes to him, and that's the real difficulty. And I think it all goes back to the fact that the man never had real experience to step into the job to begin with.
I would agree 100%. You know, you've got a very charismatic individual. You've got a very bright individual. You got an individual who, as you very, very accurately said, I mean, Pete, I have to tell you, one of the reasons I didn't vote for the president is that I felt, after reading his book, The Audacity of Hope, and after looking at his background, that he wasn't qualified for the job as of yet. I mean, virtually all politicians who reach the ultimate level in the United States, which is being the president, have they've got some deep pockets when it comes to experience. I did not see that here. I really, really didn't. And I got to tell you, my friend, I still don't see it here. I think it's really, really interesting. You know, one last thing, and I guess we got to end on this note, and then I'm going to be back again for the next segment. But the International Monetary Fund, a couple, 3 days ago, came out and said, and this is an exact quote from the Municipal Post up here in Canada. The quote is, "The International Monetary Fund has called on the United States and Europe to abandon fiscal austerity and switch to stimulus measures, warning that the global economy faces a threatening downward spiral." Well, that's not at all what the president has in mind doing. He basically is talking of, well, I guess he is in a sense. He's looking to create stimulus to create jobs. But, you know, I have to tell you, we got to get back to capitalism, and that's the last thing I'd say about this. You got the final word. You got 30 seconds. What do you think?
I think in his eyes, he began his reelection campaign. I think the Republicans will probably take, look, we don't need to show a different plan. We just need to show why his didn't work, and that'll be enough. And unfortunately for his sake, I believe that it's clear he's a one-term president.
I would have to agree with that. Mr. Grandage, always a pleasure. You guys, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as the king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chaga Max capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits. Magnesium fire-starting tools, strike-anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches. First aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, the main name in military supply.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver, the best pharmaceutical grade available, and all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you, Himbe, and Super Fem Plex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps, summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. second segment of the first hour of the Cortland Economics Report. So I'm Al Cortland. Appreciate you joining me. I've got a real currency expert on the line with me right now. He's been on the show before, Sean Hyman. Sean is a Forex trader, analyst, and currency director for the World Currency Watch. And he's also the editor of a publication called the Currency Cross Trader Newsletters. You know, we've got some very, very interesting stuff going on right now with the European currencies. Sean, how do you think this thing with Germany, for example, is that just was announced on Wednesday or maybe even Tuesday, how do you think that's going to affect the value of the euro?
Yeah, I think more people are seeing that the European crisis is spreading, it's deepening, and that everything that they have done to try to stop this so far has been futile. And so I think, you know, people see more unraveling, you know, more bolts and nuts popping off of that machine over there. And I think a lot of people are starting to flee the euro. So I think, you know, ultimately euro-dollar will come down. The dollar will benefit as the lesser of the two evils at the moment. Just because while things are bad economically in both Europe and here, there's not this contagion spreading. And also, European stocks have led the way down this time, you know, leading our stocks down as well. So really, everything is starting and being birthed this time around in Europe and heading our direction. So they'll take the biggest licks, I think.
They probably will. You know, it's interesting you talk about the U.S. dollar being the best of the worst. I agree with you 1,000% on that. I really do. But, you know, when you look to diversify a portfolio, in my mind anyway, one of the most important areas to diversify into is into currencies. I mean, I believe in being to an extent in real estate. I believe to being an extent in hard assets. I believe to being an extent in what I call the conventional stock market. Although I am very, very strongly talking today about, you know, you really want to, I think, get out of the conventional stock market. But that doesn't take away from the diversification issue. Now, if someone wants to diversify utilizing currencies, what are you telling your people to do?
They can do one of a couple of things. The more conservative approach is to use currency ETFs through their stock brokerage account. And we've got a currency capitalist newsletter that gives recommendations there. Or the a little bit more aggressive approach is to open up a currency account with a Forex broker. And you can just Google Forex broker and it'll pull up some and go check them out. But that's where you can actually trade spot FX trades and benefit on a little bit more aggressive level that way. So one of those two ways really is the best way to do that. One of the things that currencies really come to light in the times we're living in, because things are, you know, money's running to all things defensive, and in downtimes you've only got so many assets you can run to. I mean, you got gold, you got the dollar, you got the franc, you got the yen, you got bonds sometimes, and so, you know, most of those defensive assets are currencies, rather hard or soft, and so you know, I think that this is definitely a time where people need currency exposure in their portfolios, to say the least.
In your mind, okay, what's the safest currency to be in right now? I mean, look what just happened with the Swiss franc, with putting the cap on it.
Yeah, the safest had been the Swiss franc up until about a day or so ago when they started meddling with things. So, you know, I'd say gold is a great place to be. I would say, but, you know, believe it or not, for the near term, the dollar is a great place to be, just because most of these others have intervention risk. The yen has intervention risk. The franc has intervention risk, et cetera. So I think that'll give the dollar a near-term pop for 1 or 2 or 3 months or so. You know, ultimately, it'll stay in its long-term bear market. But yeah, there are times when it pops, and I think this could be one of those times.
Let's talk about Canadian currencies a little bit. You know, the Canadian dollar is pretty strong compared to the U.S. dollar right now. Do you see that continuing?
It has been, and I do think the tide is turning there. You know, in our Currency Cross Trader newsletter, we're, you know, buying the dollar CAD pair because we believe that stocks are going to plummet, oil will continue to plummet, those uptrends have been broken, and so I believe that all of this is going to weigh heavily upon, you know, the major oil exporter, Canada. And as the, you know, U.S. economy slows to a grind and that sort of thing, I think that it's going to put less demand on Canadian oil. which we get the bulk of our oil from Canada. So I think they're going to get hit on several fronts, and I just don't think it's going to be kind to the Canadian dollar. Now, over the long term, the Canadian dollar is far superior fundamentally to the U.S. dollar. But for the upcoming months, you know, 3 months, 6 months, possibly a year, the dollar will probably have an edge over the Canadian dollar.
You know, you hear rumors about the Chinese suggesting that the currency, the international currency of last resort, switches away from the U.S. dollar. And I think that probably, you know, has a certain amount of sound thinking behind it. And you hear a certain amount of rumor that between the French and the Chinese that they're talking about an asset-based currency of last resort. And I'm hearing kind of whispers about, well, maybe the asset that currency should be based on is gold. Have you heard anything about that, and what do you think of it?
I have heard talks of that. I really have my doubts as to if anybody will back their currency by gold or if we'll go back to a gold standard. I do think it would be a wise thing to do. I just don't think any of them will pull the trigger and do it. But I think as an individual, investing in gold is a good move. Investing in the yuan, you know, for the next good bit is a good move as well. They've continually been ratcheting their yuan up higher. I think that's a transition that they're going to have to do. Those cheap yuan days are likely over. Their economy is shifting, and I think it's going to demand a stronger yuan to where they're going.
I would agree 100% on that. What do you think about silver? We've been on in the past. The United States has at various times been on a silver-backed currency. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, normally silver does really well as the poor man's gold, and as gold goes up, silver goes up. But there comes a point, and I think we're probably nearing that point now, where I start to have my doubts because of the industrial side of silver. As the economies of the world slow down, I think there, you know, some of the demand could come off of the supplies of silver, and silver probably will not mimic gold's ascent. And so I think I'm a lot more bullish on gold right now than I am on silver, strictly because of that industrial side of silver.
I would agree with you. I really would. We haven't talked a lot about the service that you offer. Tell our listeners about it, will you? Because I think it's pretty valuable.
Yeah, you can go to worldcurrencywatch.com and find our free blog posts and free articles there. Gives you a lot of flavor of what's going on in the currency market. You can also subscribe to our investment newsletter, Currency Capitalist, or our trading letter, Currency Cross Trader, and if you want a more active approach to the currency markets. But either one of those will give you some big insights into currency market and a lot of direction with exact trade recommendations.
Long story short, you know, you're a pretty bright guy. You've been exposed to all areas of finance, et cetera. Why did you choose to specialize in currencies?
I think they're the least tainted. So I think that you don't have to worry as much about botched balance sheets or CEOs or CFOs gone bad or just so many things like that that can throw you for a loop. You can look at, you know, macro-wise, what is the economy doing? Where is it going? And I think you can get a more accurate assessment of that. So it's a purer market, in my opinion, and that's why I went there.
Okay, there you have it. I suggest you guys take a look at it. All you have to do is click on Sean's picture on our homepage. You get all the information you want. Big Al's going to be right back. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze-Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze-Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze-Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amounts. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too.
We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has 3 different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, 3-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for quick action. Listen to what the revolutionary MDS Forte can do for you. MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte at bestbloodsupport.com or call 213-405-5355. Call 213-405-5355 or go to bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, you have to admit, Sean Hyman is a very, very interesting guy. It's Texans all seem to think alike, but I have to tell you, I really like his take on where to be, if you want to preserve your capital. It makes a lot of sense to me anyway. Listen, I got Mike Larson on the line with me right now. Mike is involved with one of my favorite organizations in the company, and that is Weiss Research. He is the chief analyst for Money and Markets, and he's the editor of another newsletter called The Safe Money Report. Mike, got a question for you. You know, there are a lot of people right now who are saying the doldrums in the conventional stock market is over, everything is going to be okay, yada, 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 yada. I totally disagree. What does Mike Larson think?
Sure. I think there's a lot on Wall Street, a lot of people on Wall Street that are expecting some kind of replay of 2010. That's when the economy hit a weak patch in the summer. Ben Bernanke came out with this QE2 idea, and it basically inflated every asset class under the sun, from commodities to stocks to risky junk bonds to commercial REITs and on and on. I remember there's a hedge fund manager who went on TV and said, you just have to buy everything. And for a while, he was actually right. The problem is that QE2 ultimately did nothing for the real economy. You know, you print a bunch of money and you throw it at the market, yeah, it might go up, but you can't print jobs, and we certainly don't have a job creation engine in this country anymore. So ultimately, the artificial QE2 pop failed. So now I think it's a totally different environment. Now the economy is worse off than it was last summer. If you look at some of these indices, for example, the Philadelphia Fed, purchase mortgage activity, GDP, they're all as bad, if not worse, than they were in the depths of the last phase of the recession, meaning early 2009. So you've got the economy in worse shape. Plus, you have a completely different political environment. We saw what QE2 does. It inflates commodity prices, so it hurts Main Street America, but it does nothing to help the real, you know, job engine in this country. So I don't think Bernanke has the political ability to push through any kind of program.
I would agree with that. You know, I know that there's a lot of hoopla going on right now about job creation, et cetera, but, you know, I have to tell you, I read a very, very interesting editorial in the Wall Street Journal. It was actually in the journal a week ago Friday, and the op-ed guy was talking about the effectiveness of government versus the effectiveness of the market in terms of getting an economy going, strengthening economy, what have you. And everything that's happened that the government has proposed and put into action has really done absolutely nothing other than cost the country more money than they've got. I mean, we had an assurance from the administration that the unemployment rate was going to go down. In fact, it did not. We had an assurance from the administration that all the money they were spending on getting the economy going again was going to work. In fact, you know, history has proven the numbers are there. Nothing whatsoever has worked. And I'm thinking, you know what, we got to go back to a purely capitalistic society where what goes on in this country from an economic standpoint is market driven and the government be damned. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the example of Japan, they had twin busts in their stock market and then their real estate market. And, you know, in the Bernanke school of thought, the mainstream view on the Fed is, well, the Bank of Japan just wasn't aggressive enough. They pulled back too soon. And then on the fiscal side, they weren't aggressive enough cutting taxes and doing these other things. And that's why they had this sort of lost decade, or now really it's almost lost two decades. I think that's not true. I think the reality is when you have a bubble and it bursts in two important sectors, stocks and the real estate market, you're setting yourself up for a very long, painful period that no, you know, government engendered recovery or attempted a recovery is going to work. People are just deleveraging. And that's what I'm afraid of, that we're entering here. If you look at the amount of money that's been printed, borrowed, and spent at the Federal Reserve or the Treasury in the last couple of years to supposedly help housing and to, you know, make mortgages cheaper and to inflate assets and so on and so forth, what has it gotten us? Not much of anything in the real economy. And I think that goes to show you that it's not that we need more of the same medicine that hasn't worked. We need to take a different tack. And you know, I think some in Washington are starting to get that message, and that's why there's so much of a pushback against what the Fed's doing now and such a pushback against the Obama administration. I mean, we had that $800 billion plus stimulus package that didn't work, and now that's why he's toning down his message and talking about a much smaller package this time around.
Well, now that's 100% true. But now I want to say for the record, I am not a Democrat, okay? and I'm sure that President Obama is a great guy and all that, but I didn't vote for him, and I won't vote for him in 2012 because I simply just disagree with, you know, disagree with his views. I really do. And I think that most people, you know, most of my colleagues, not most, all of my colleagues do also. But, you know, you can't just blame the current administration. I mean, things got pretty stinky with the creation of money, increasing the money supply logarithmically almost under the Bush administration. You know, we haven't really had, in my opinion, we haven't had solid times economically. And I hate to say this, but probably since Clinton. What do you think?
No, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I mean, I'm actually a registered independent, so I can find things to like or more often than not dislike on both sides of the aisle. And I completely agree. You know, Obama's had a tough road to hoe here because of some of the problems he inherited from the Bush administration. And I think a lot of the problem really goes back to the Federal Reserve and their policies. I mean, you know, the Federal Reserve has basically had the same types of programs, same types of leadership now under both administrations, and I think their policies have been woefully misguided. I mean, what have we gotten as a result of easy money? We've gotten, you know, massive stock market bubble back in the late 1990s, a massive real estate bubble in the early 2000s, and the only solution seems to be, well, you know, we helped inflate the last bubble by printing too much money, and when it pops, let's go print some more money. So I think part of the problem is just that what's happening on the monetary policy side is so awful that it's really hard to compensate for that on the fiscal side. So I think what we need to do is stop looking for some, Sean Broderick, you mentioned earlier, he came up with this phrase, magic pony unicorns. He said we need to stop looking for another magic pony unicorn from Washington, D.C. That's going to supposedly support the economy or turn things around. We've got to, take a different tack, and I think that's what the market is gradually going to come to realize. And that's why I think for stock market investors, we're in for some tough times.
Okay, so what are you telling people to do? I mean, were you talking about collecting porcelain dolls? What do you think? I like hard assets, personally. What does Mike Larson think?
Sure. I think you've got to own gold in this environment. I mean, gold is sort of the ultimate anti-fiat, anti-inflation, anti-money printing insurance. And, it's not just the U.S. that's trying to devalue the dollar. In Europe, the euro currency is kind of falling apart at the seams. The Swiss National Bank just came out, and they want to try and drive their own currency down. So you have this global rush to debasement, and really gold is a safe haven in that kind of environment. As far as stocks are concerned, I think you've got to look at things like inverse ETFs that rise in value when stocks go down. I think we're in for a rough patch here, and it's potentially one that could, the downturn that could rival what we saw back in 2007 to 2009.
I don't think there's any question about that. I think that, I would take that one to the bank. I think that we are going to have a downturn that's going to easily rival the particular time frame that you mentioned. I remember not a number of sleepless nights, but a number of very concerned nights back in 2008 on my part. But I think this time could be worse. I think personally, at the risk of sounding really, really dramatic, Mike, I got to tell you, and I spoke with Sean about this, and we were on a couple of property visits up in Alaska, a few weeks back. But I got to tell you, I think this thing really is almost on the verge of absolutely imploding. You think I'm being crazy?
No, I think what the reality is, when we got in the first phase of this credit crisis and recession, investors were able to have this sort of warm blanket wrapped around them in the idea that the Fed and the policymakers in Washington on the fiscal side of things were going to bail them out. But the problem is now here we are 3 years later, and we've spent and borrowed and printed so much money, and it didn't work. So, you have investors out there that, again, are sort of clamoring for some magic solution out of left field, but we as a country can't afford it. We don't have the money anymore. So there isn't that backstop that you had last time where the government assumed all this private credit risk. Now the question is, who's going to assume all the government risk? I mean, you look at what's happening in Greece and Portugal and now some of the bigger countries in Europe like Italy. These countries are too big to bail.
They are too big to bail. The United States is definitely too big to bail. I got to tell you, we're in for a very, very rough ride, in my opinion. And, and I agree with all of you guys down at Weiss Research. I think that the safest place to be right now definitely is in hard assets. Mike, thank you so much. Always a pleasure, buddy.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome in. You're listening to the Cornell Economics Report Weekend Edition with David McIlvaney. David's a very interesting guy. He is the Chief Executive Officer of the McIlvaney Financial Group. Okay, he's a graduate of Biola University, and he's an associate member of, and I hope I pronounced this right, Keble College, Oxford University, where he studied philosophy and political theory. What I find really interesting about David is he volunteered as an analyst in Chile with the Institute for Liberty and Development. This is an organization that's dedicated to providing free market solutions throughout all of Latin America and the Third World. And David and I were talking earlier off the air about how that relates to what's going on in the United States. And, you know, we seem to have an interesting situation here, and that is in our country, we're looking for, not all of us certainly, but a lot of people are looking for government solutions to foster economic growth. Okay, and so far, as I mentioned in my editorial a couple, 3 days ago, that hasn't worked at all. I mean, the only thing that government intervention has gotten us is, you know, as the old Tennessee Ernie Ford song says, you know, another day older and deeper in debt. You know, we got no tangible results at this point. Well, what they're doing in Latin America, South America, et cetera, and as you know, based on past programs, I've spent a bit of time down there, and there's an awful lot of growth occurring in that part of the world, and it's occurring because the folks are looking to free markets to provide that growth as opposed to government intervention. David, what are your comments on that?
Well, I think you see, you know, sort of a comparison and contrast across all of South America. Some countries have done very well over the last 10, 20, 30 years, and some have not done so well at all. And a part of it has to do with a breaking of expectations. The market has a certain set of expectations. It has to be able to predict somewhat what is coming in the future. And in a place like Chile, you know, where the rule of law and property rights are paramount, you do see capital formation, you do see growth in business, and you do see a pursuit of free market solutions. Contrast that with a number of others and maybe just pick the neighbor across the mountains. Argentina, you know, you're looking at a country that's had five different currencies in about 30 years, and there's very little trust by the man on the street. You'll often see someone walking down the street in a fine Italian suit asking for a cigarette. You know, and the disparity or the difference between what he used to have in wealth and what he has today, they don't trust the banks, they don't trust their government, they don't trust anything or anyone. They have good reason not to. And so where you have free market solutions, you do find capital formation. Where you have government intervention, government control, and really government betrayal, that's a deformation or a de-evolution, if you will.
I would agree 100%, David. You know, it amazes me how the leaders of the United States continue, not all of them, but the majority of them, the ones in power right now anyway, continue to go into the direction of attempting to solve the situation here with Keynesian economics. I mean, I have to tell you, I've got a bit of a background in economics and in finance, both with an undergraduate and a graduate degree and a few years' experience in this business. And Keynesian economics just doesn't work. You know, when you talk about big government is totally detrimental to economic growth. Don't you agree?
I would. You know, I think the gross error that's been made both in the United States and in Europe is that each scenario where they've projected crisis and solution, it's assumed strong economic recovery with the backdrop being low interest rates and ample liquidity. So, I mean, it's interesting to see both the Fed, Treasury, and various politicians, the backbone of anything that they've offered has been Keynesian ideology, and that's really what's being experimented with now in sort of its final stage. I think this is sort of the stage in which Keynesianism gets a relook. And maybe the free markets on the other side of this are looked at with a healthier degree of respect, even by those in the ivory tower.
Now, you just said something I find to be really interesting. When you said the final stages of Keynesian theory put into practice, so basically I think you're agreeing with me when I say that I think we're in for a very, very majorly negative, I guess I should say, economic situation in the foreseeable future. I think that our economy very easily could simply implode. You think I'm nuts?
I don't think you're nuts at all. I think there's a very shallow appreciation for how grave the threat is, both here in the U.S. and in Europe. I mean, when you get to the end of a 30 to 40-year credit boom and head into a bust, and you're finding that fiscal solutions don't work in Europe, very unpopular within the context of democracy, austerity measures go over like a lead balloon. So you can't really get that far with fiscal solutions. It leaves one place to go primarily, and it's monetary solutions. So, I mean, it fits hand in glove with Keynesian thinking, but what they're forgetting is that they don't have the same context that they had over the last 30 or 40 years. I mean, if you go back to the 1960s, we expanded the amount of debt in the system significantly. We were in the guns and butter days. 1965, we began a process of spending money that we didn't have. And we had a balance sheet that could take that on. Today, we don't have a balance sheet that can take that on. We've used it up, and the effective increase in debt and its contribution to GDP has diminished each year. In the last 10 years, it's become acute. So, you know, that's, I think, what most of our politicians are forgetting. They don't have the same luxury that they had 30 or 40 years ago at the beginning point of a credit boom. We've gotten to the end stages of that, and that's where their theories, I think, will be found wanting in the years ahead.
Well, I would agree 100%. Now, let's relate this to what you do. You're the CEO of the McIlvaney Financial Group. I have to assume that your dad, Don McIlvaney, started that way back when. What exactly are you telling folks that they should be doing right now, given these tumultuous times?
Yeah, there's two ways to take this. I mean, we have two separate companies. One is a precious metals brokerage business, which was founded in 1972. The other is a wealth management company that deals with traditional asset classes, stocks, bonds, foreign currencies, and whatnot. What you essentially have is a defensive posture on the one hand, the physical metals, and more offensive growth-oriented posture on the other. And I think in both instances, investors need to be weighing risks against reward and focusing on asset preservation during this period in time. Taking a balanced approach would include having precious metals in the portfolio, would have having an allocation to cash and liquidity. I think you have to look at the major themes that are in the marketplace today, and clearly the political bias and the Treasury and Fed bias is towards creation of money, greasing the skids, if you will, and trying to get the economy back on its feet. How does that impact various asset classes? If monetary inflation is a dynamic, then there's some places to go that I think make a lot of sense. And obviously on your show you discuss with some regularity having, say, for instance, precious metals miners in a portfolio. That fits a growth dynamic very well.
You know, it's interesting. My portfolio is an open book to my listeners, and basically, what I discuss, you know, whenever it's appropriate, is what I'm doing. And I'm a real believer in diversification. And however, I think that because of the economic environment that we're in right now, or maybe I should say the financial environment that we're in right now, I really believe that where I personally stand is I've got 60% or a little more of our capital involved in the hard asset sector. Now, does that mean that I am 60 to 65% involved just in the asset itself? Absolutely not. I have a certain amount of my capital in both gold and silver, and then the rest of it, which does represent the majority in that particular in that particular segment, is in mining stocks, because I think that the leverage that a mining stock provides, whether it's an exploration stage company or a senior producer on the other end of the spectrum, the leverage, in my opinion, is really, really great. Final comments? We've got about a minute.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see that leverage play out handily here in the future, but good evidence that there is an inflationary thematic is that a lot of these companies have not made much money up until just the last 3 to 6 months.
Exactly.
Because they've had rising input costs, again, an indication of systemic inflation or repricing of real assets in light of less purchasing power from any given currency, whether that's the euro, the Swiss franc, the U.S. dollar, or what have you. So I think the bigger play is still ahead in those sorts of assets. I would describe those as more growth-oriented, whereas the physical metals would be more of a defense. Yes, they've done well. You know, the last 10 years has been sort of the heyday for both metals. This is where people need to focus on asset preservation and assuming that the system is more frail than you actually know.
David McIlvaney. David is a very interesting guy. He is, among other things, the chairman of McIlvaney Financial Group, a very worthwhile organization. Click on his picture, and you can find out more about what the McIlvaney Financial Group does and what David does. Stick around. We're going to be back with the second hour of this show.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNLive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.